guest this evening is well known to you all, and he is a former host here on Radio Wātea, Shane Te Pau, and he joins me now. Kia ora, Shane. Nice to talk with you.
Kia ora, Meta. As always, Meta Picker, as always.
Well, hey, you know, a week's a long time in politics, but I tell you, every 24 hours something is popping up.
Yeah, that's true. We had the National Party conference in the weekend.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, we're becoming the kicking boy there, aren't we?
We are, Meta Picker, and this is the reason. Have a look at the polls. National probably should be at least 10 points ahead. For several reasons. Second term governments always find it tough. Getting the third term is very difficult. All right, we have got inflation running at an all-time high, although it does seem to be coming slowly under control. We have got higher home lending rates. And in normal circumstances, you would think that the opposition party would be doing much better than it is. This is going to be a very close election. The problem the National Party have is that they're bleeding votes, not to Labor, but to ACT. And ACT's primary position isn't the economic position. It's law, order, what I think is quite clearly an anti-Māori perspective. So what has the National Party done of late? They've run after ACT to try and claw back some of that vote, and I think it's as simple as that.
Do you think that ACT is running the same line in terms of, well, I think they are, anti-Māori, anything that they think Māori might get an advantage of, which is not really, it's just trying to get some equity into the situation. ACT just as much.
Act more so, and also what happens, Meta Picker, is that political parties poll all the time. All right, they poll all the time. I'm not talking about the polls that read in the paper, but the poll over issues. And just over three months out from the election, they'll be polling almost every week. National Party will see on what issues they're not getting traction on, where they're losing votes to, and it'll be Māori issues, it'll be law and order, all this sort of stuff to ACT. So what they have to do is try and replicate and outdo them in terms of these type of policies and these type of platforms. You know, we saw the prime example last week when they said that this government was promoting Māori in terms of health need and waiting lists above non-Māori, which, you know, every statistic in the world shows us that we are the ones that are disadvantaged. So we saw the beginning of this, and I think, Meta Picker, that it's only going to get worse in terms of Māori as we lead up to the election.
Yes, I guess you're quite right. I think you are right there. And so that, Māori need to, I guess you could say, is it gird their loins and make sure that they're preparing for the fight? Because I think I do believe that it will go pretty much down to the wire. And for the government and for the opposition party, and it won't be nice. It won't be nice. But so,
no, it'll be us. But also, Meta Picker, what about the silence? Now, just this weekend gone, there was a meeting of Invercargill. You've got this guy who I forget his name. He's irrelevant, but he's gone throughout Aotearoa. And he's advocating an anti-treaty position, anti-Māori position. Just this weekend in Invercargill, you had the mayor turn up. And at that meeting, he said that some of his supporters, on a weekly basis, have been ringing him and telling him that they want to arm themselves and there's going to be civil war in New Zealand. Now, Meta Picker, if that was a meeting for the Māori or Muslims, and that same rhetoric was used, and the mayor of Te Taitokoro, Te Pinia, turned up to support it, all hell would have broken loose. It would have been on the 6 o'clock news. It would have been the front page of the New Zealand Herald. So it's not just what people say, what these parties say, but it's the silence when quite clearly blatant thuggery, racism, and threats of civil war sprouted and attended by the local mayor.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That tells you something.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is believable. I was shocked, but not really. You know, the reality is that sadly, it's mainly older Pākehā men.
Yeah.
They feel threatened. They feel that the day in the sun has come to an end. But the reality is it hasn't. You know, when we take wealth in, we take wealth as a factor. We take positions of power and authority. We take CEO roles. We take the public service and the major roles. They're all Pākehā, not all, but the vast majority are Pākehā men. They still have the ascendancy, they still have the authority, and they still fundamentally rule New Zealand.
Mm. Yeah, they do, and not much is going to change there, that's for sure.
No, it's a generational shift. We are seeing it. And, you know, yes. Metapeka, where I have hope, people say, Shane, do you have a lot? I've got a lot of hope. Our young people, they understand the treaty. Mm. They don't have the hang-ups that many of sort of my generation, older generation have. You know, Metapeka, you will remember when Dame Nada Glavish said, kia ora, and it was like the end of the world. You will remember when Henewehi Mohi sang our national anthem in Te Reo. It was like the end of the world. And looking back, you say, what was the big deal? I tell you what, on many of the issues that are confronting some of these conservatives, they'll look back at our future generations will look back in 20 years and they'll cringe and they'll go, what was the big deal here? There isn't a big deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I just feel that we don't want to go back too far. We don't want to go back in time. We want to look forward. No. And you're right. Our young children, particularly those.
Yeah.
And even Pākehā young people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're going on to marais. They're going to noho marae. They're learning. I mean, the language is not confusing to them or confronting to them.
It's not confusing to them. Yes.
But you're right.
There's no such thing as modification because it's part of the Aotearoa they lived in and they're brought up in. But it wasn't part of Aotearoa that was we witnessed in the 50s and 60s, Metapeka, but it certainly is in the 2000s and beyond.
Well, I think, and it's, to my mind, Shane, people get fearful when they don't understand. And when they don't understand, they get fearful. And so, of course, if anybody's going to feed that fear, then, oh, my goodness, they'll buy into it hook, line and sinker. And that's what disappoints me about Pākehā New Zealanders. Do they not sometimes want to think for themselves? Don't they realise that there is nothing to fear? That, you know, but I believe, actually, Shane, they think that we will be just like them. Greedy.
That's what they want. That's what they want. They're assimilists. But you know what, Metapeka? I think by and large, most New Zealanders do get it, and it's not so much of an issue. I think it's just a dying sort of generational thing they're giving a lot of political air. They're giving a lot of column inches in the local newspaper. But you know, this guy's gone throughout Aotearoa and, you know, he's getting crowds of 50 or 60. I think in Invercargill he got 90 people. So, you know, says in itself that that really his message isn't getting traction. But what disturbs me is when they do say the things that they said on Saturday night, but the hypocrisy of New Zealand media not calling it out.
Yes, well, I understand that that John Tamahere has written something, and I haven't seen it yet. You know, he's talking about the media because the media, I mean, what a lightweight, once over lightly lot they are. To be honest, you know, there's no deep dive being done, no depth to the to their reporting. It's like, well, you know, if we can get a few words here and make up something along the way, that'll do. We'll shove that copy in, and you know, and you can tell it. No thinking, no thought.
No, and you know, I'm a columnist, you're a columnist, JT is a columnist, but you know, the number of Māori columnists in mainstream in our major newspapers, you can count them on, you know, one hand. The number of the number of Māori that are on ZB, one out of, if you take their top six programs, one out of eight. You know, so what's happening is that a Pākehā perspective is reflected and a Māori perspective is not reflected. We see that, we see this all the time.
Yeah, we certainly do. And that's and that's a shame because there's no balance there. But also, you know, the I guess you could say the owners of the newspapers, well, I think there's just two now, I think, isn't there?
They've got to be
held accountable too and responsible for lack of objectivity.
Yes. Yeah, and then you know, I do commentating from time to time, and I go in some of these newsrooms that might have 200 people in it at any one time. There are many occasions where, you know, I'm the only Māori in the room, or I might spot someone else. You know, there, no doubt there are other people with whakapapa, but not easily identifiable, and certainly not mainstream. So don't hold masterheads in terms of column inches, and you know, and I think it's a shame because. It's a shame not only is it that we don't have our perspective, but I think the general reader is missing out because, you know, alternative perspectives are needed. And if you have alternative perspective, you have balanced reporting. And I don't think we have that across New Zealand media. I think we're slowly getting there, you know, through the public fund, through young Māori and Pacifica journalists, being funded, but we've got a long way to go, Mere Pika, long way to go.
Yes, we certainly do have a long way to go. Do you usually, of course, you know, in the elections in the past, you know, a lot of it has been covered by journalists, etc., and television. Do you think social media now is going to play a big part in parties communicating their message and who they hope to target as an audience?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It's for many people, it's their sole source of information. I've been guilty of this from time to time, that you read from sources that you like to hear from, and that's certainly the case in terms of social media. As I say, for many people, it's the primary source of income. Mm.
Yes. Well, that's right. And the only thing, of course, is usually with, well, I'm not actually on social media, really. I don't know how to do it, to be quite honest. But I think sometimes it's an easy way to get information. It's a quick way, an easy way. And you really don't know what the source is. So you're just taking it as gospel, what you're reading. So, and I guess, but people who want to be informed and not do any heavy reading, they'll go there first, I presume. And I guess it's today, if it's easy, if it's quick, maybe that's what people want.
Yeah, that's true. And also we like infotainment rather than the news. The 15-second TikTok or Insta rather than...
What was that one? What was that last
Insta.
One you said?
TikTok
Booster.
And Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and TikTok. Yeah.
I better get and with also, the program.
Yeah, and also what's happening, of course, is that you've got paywall. So 60 to 70% of the what's published, particularly online, you can't get access to anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So people will look for alternative sources. That's just the reality. But having said that, Mere Pika, given all of that, given, I think, the entrenched media biases, given the fact that National and ACT have many millions of dollars more than, say, Labor, the Greens and the Māori Party, the polls show that it's more than possible that you're going to get a Māori Party, Labor Party, Green, sort of some form of coalition. And given all the resources that National and ACT have got, given all of the media, I think, quite blatant support that they've got, things are still looking reasonably okay for the centre-left.
Well, I do hope so, because that the alternative doesn't really bear thinking about for too long. So I do hope that that will be the case. Yeah. And but yes, so I mean, we've got. Well, I'm not sure. They do tell me that Mecca is still very popular in Te Rāwhiti, and you know, one hopes that for Māori Party she might gain that one. Tell me,
I think Wairiki. Look, even Labour Party people are saying Wairiki's, you're not going to win it back. You know, that Māori Party will hold that. I 6 weeks ago I said that I think it is possible for Labour to win Te Tauru. My sources within the Labour Party are saying that it's gone. So that's two seats. Ikoro Rāwhiti, I think Labour could win it back. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a relatively close race. But having said that, we're only 3.5 months away from the election. Mecca resigned, what, a month ago? And Labour still hasn't got a candidate. That tells me that they're having trouble finding a quality candidate. Because if they had found one, they would have had them in place now. Because you know as well as I do, Meripika, and so do the listeners, is that you need someone on the ground, you need someone working hard, you need organisation, and to do that, you need a candidate. I understand that that's going to that person's going to be announced next week. But given the fact that Meripika has been gone, what, out of the Labour Party for 4 or 5 weeks, tells me they're struggling to find a candidate.
Yeah, well, that doesn't. So that does, it tells you a few things, doesn't it? So I bet they'll be going hard. At one stage, I thought it might have been Willie, and I thought it might have been Willie Te Amo.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look, I've pontificated. I've been told it's this person. I've been told it's that person. But apparently, they've got a horse. I don't know whether it's a filly or what, but they're going to announce it next week. So we'll see.
Oh, we'll see. Well, that's great. Well, you know, as I say, I mean, of course, I know that the government has been under the pump a wee bit with the various ministers, you know, being perhaps not as sharp with as they should have been, and being, you know, accountable for some of their paperwork, etc. But and I guess, you know, for all we know, I sometimes feel for the Prime Minister. He gets up every morning and thinks, now what the hell am I going to encounter today?
That's nothing, that's the nature,
not of his making.
No, that's the nature of politics. And, you know, they got a very big caucus. The curse of having a big caucus is discipline is easily creeps in, and that's what we've seen. But I don't think that it will hurt the government long term. I think that, like most election, it'll be won or lost over the economy, and people will have to make up their mind whether or not Labour, the Greens, are the road forward, or National and ACT. And I get back to the central point I started off with my kōrero today, that the National Party will be just as afraid of ACT getting a large portion of the vote, because their economic policy is based on austerity. And you know what austerity means? It means the rich will get richer, the poor will get poorer. In my lifetime, I've seen two cycles of real austerity. I saw it in the Rogenomics. I saw it in euthanasia. And who paid the price? Working people, and particularly Māori. And that's when, you know, we saw the phase, the rich right, the phase, the folks like that make a heck of a lot of money. And that's what happens when you have austerity-based budgets. The poor pay for it and the rich get richer, and the economic divide gets wider.
Yeah. Well, no, you're quite right, and that should not be happening, absolutely not. And I saw that too. And, you know, thousands of people lost their jobs during the restructuring of, you know, government departments were disestablished, restructuring and downsizing. And then, as you say, the budget of all bloody budgets and mother of all budgets. And, it took its toll.
It took its toll, Meripika, and you know, I had a kōrero today to someone, and I said, look, you know, Meripika, you were around at the same time I was. You know, we saw towns like Kawerau, Murupara, Whakatane, or Potiki. We saw thousands of people dumped on the dole. Now we've got second, third, entering into fourth generational unemployment, loss of hope. And nothing has led to the growth of gangs greater than economic policy that was dealt to us under Bidenomics and Rutanasia. That's just, that is the reality.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that again, because people are finding it tough enough as it is.
Yes, yes. Okay, Metapeka, I better go. I've got an international call, but lovely chatting to you.